Bishop did. I know over the last several weeks she's been looking at the Word of God, decided to make Jesus Lord. She now has eternal life. Amen? Amen? Amen. You and I, as baptized disciples of Christ, we have eternal life. Amen. And there is an aspect that we're enjoying right now. But there is also a future aspect that we're going to experience later. Amen? Amen. That indeed the best is yet to come. Most of our life, we've not even experienced it yet. I'm not talking about this life. Okay? Are you with me? Our lives on this earth, compared to eternity, is like this. And eternity just goes for on and on and on and on. That's what I'm talking about. And God promises that if we give up this, we will experience that. Amen, church? And so I want us to continue to talk about that tonight. And the exciting part of, you know, this whole thing is, a lot of times we think, oh man, I'm giving up so much. First of all, if you think about it, we're not really giving up anything. Because there is nothing we have that God didn't give to us first. Even when we talk about life, every material possession you may own, God gave it to you. And so a lot of times we think, oh yeah, okay, we got to turn it all over to back to God. Yes, but he gave it to you in the first place. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And the exciting thing is in Matthew 19, hold your place in 2 Peter. In Matthew 19, I want us to start here because to me this is good news. You know, right after the rich young ruler walked away, he wasn't willing to give up his wealth. Peter, smart guy, he turned around and looked at Jesus. Hey, Lord, hey, what's in it for us? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, verse 28, Matthew 19. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is going to happen. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, all children, all fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Amen? You say, well, is it a literal 100? It doesn't matter. To me, that's a lot. And I think that's the point God is trying to get through to us. It's not as if you and I are meant to be seated there, okay, Lord, I've been a Christian now 10 years. You know, I've only gained 20 times what I gave up. Now, if you want to do that, that's entirely up to you. But I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about how, you know, it's going to give us a lot more than we gave up. Are you with me? And isn't that true in our lives? I mean, if you really think about it, in terms of all the blessings we have in Christ, I know for myself, I've received a whole lot more than I gave up. Okay? I mean, it's amazing the little things we take for granted. I mean, think about the kind of marriage you now have in Christ. Okay? I know the history of some of you. Like, your marriage went from like night to day. Well, we used to fuss and quarrel, you know, and the kids were like, uh-oh, these guys are going to get a divorce. But praise God, you decided to repent. You made Jesus Lord. You started following the instructions from the scriptures. And now see the marriage you now have that now your kids also want. That's not accident. You can't buy that. Are you with me? And God has given us so much in so many areas that we really have a lot to be thankful for. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 1, the Apostle Peter writes, he says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Amen. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You see, we're told right here that Peter wrote this letter to stimulate the Christians to wholesome thinking. And it never ceases to amaze me in terms of how blessed we are living in this time and place. Remember that when he wrote this letter, for you to hear the word of God, first of all, you had to be at the assembly. Okay, and they didn't have things like this. They used to meet in their homes, and they have house church. And so literally, if you miss church, sorry, there was no recording that you could listen to on the web. Okay, I know we're spoiled, rotten today. You don't get a second chance. If you did not show up physically, you wouldn't hear the apostles preaching the word. And even as time went on, as the church grew, and letters were being sent out that you and I now read today, whether it's 1 Corinthians or the second letter to the Corinthians or the letter to the church in Rome or the letter to the church in Ephesus, you had to have been there to hear them being read. Are you with me? Yeah. And so, here we are today in the 21st century. All these letters that were written down, we now have them right here, bound up. You can pick it up every day. You can read it. And I really believe that sometimes if our brothers and sisters back in the first century could come back and look at us today in terms of the things that we struggle with, believe me, getting close into the Bible is not going to be one of them. Because this was something that they longed for, that they really appreciated. And they were not so busy such that, you know, they couldn't hear the word of God. I mean, I don't know about you. I love to hear sermons, but I like to hear them firsthand. I don't want somebody to come and tell me, oh man, Israel heard so-and-so preach today. Now, thank God, like I said, for the recording. A lot of times when I'm out of town and some brothers preach in my place, you know, every time I come back, even before I come back, a lot of times I'll ask Sarah, so how did the service go? And she'll always tell me, oh man, Danny got up there and flat preached the word. Or Gary got up there and flat preached the word. And I'm like, I can't wait to go. Then I call these guys up in the back. Have you put that stuff on the web? I want to hear it. It's not so much that, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, whatever it is they said is the scriptures. They have the scriptures. They preach from the scriptures. That's why I put them up here. But I want to hear the lesson myself. I don't want Sarah to give me a blow by blow. Okay, now he said this, then he said this, then he said this. That's not going to cut it for me. I want to hear the message myself. And this is the message. We have it. And we got to get in there. Are you with me? You've heard me say this before. It is the Bible that brought us into the kingdom of God. It is the Bible that's going to keep you here. And ultimately one day help us see God's face. That's why it's very, very important. And Peter basically says to them, you know what? I want to remind you. Lest you forget. What happens with time is, as time goes on, we forget things. Okay? I don't know about you. I'm beginning to forget things. I'm very serious. You know, it's like, I'll be sitting there, and I might be talking to my wife, and I'll say, you know what? Oh yeah, I was talking to so-and-so. And I can see the person's face, and their figure, but I can't remember their name. Like, you know, what's that brother's name again? Oh, I mean, it's standing right there. And then 5 minutes later, it comes to me. It wasn't like that 20 years ago. Okay? The point is, the older we get, or the longer we've been around, we start forgetting things. And I'm thankful that we have the Bible in black and white that reminds us over and over again of different things. Are you with me? It says several things. It says, number one, it says, scoffers will come during the last days. Now, he said, what's the last days? We are in the last days. The last days is the age of the Messiah. When Jesus came back in the first century, obviously, you and I, we were not around. The last days started. So when is it going to end? When he comes back. Are you with me? So we are in the last days, whether you like it or not. In a manner of speaking, you know, to use a baseball terminology, we're in the ninth inning. You know, I used to wonder when I first came to this country, how people knew the game was about to end. When I watched baseball, it just didn't make any sense to me. I grew up watching cricket. And it's like, now I see them, they're all excited. You know, people are standing up and they're like, how do they know it's about to end? Or did somebody sat down and explained to me, okay, you have nine innings. Oh, bottom of the ninth, top of the ninth. Oh, okay, now I understand what's going on. Are you with me? Okay. He's asking me what's cricket. Cricket is the equivalent of American baseball. I'll explain it to you in the fellowship. It's like being in the fourth quarter. Okay? In football, there are four quarters. And fourth quarter, the game is going to end. The clock is ticking. It's going down. And, you know, the game really gets intense at that point. Because somebody wants to win. In a matter of speaking, in a spiritual sense, we're in the fourth quarter. We're in the last days. And he promises us that scoffers will come, saying, hey, where is this coming? He promised. And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. Because I promise you, no headlines in America today read, Jesus is coming soon. Not one. If anything, you're probably talking about the mess that's going on at Penn State right now. I'm going to leave that till Sunday. But you see, people are not thinking about Jesus coming back. We need to be thinking about it on a daily basis. Because it can happen anytime. Look in John 14:3. And we'll come back. Hold your place in 2 Peter. We're talking about where is this promised? Where is this coming? He promised. In John 14. Listen to what Jesus says here. As a matter, let's back up to verse 1. In John 14 verse 1. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then later on, right after that, it makes the statement that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through him. Are you with me? Notice what he says though. He says, you know what? I am going there to prepare a place for you. As if that was not good enough, he says, but if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. And that's the exciting time that you and I are looking forward to. Are you with me? That in a manner of speaking, you and I, we missed the first coming. We were not here. Okay, I'm sorry. God didn't want you to be an apostle or whatever, so here you are in the 21st century. That's all there is to it. And the same goes for me. But the second coming, none of us will miss it. Because he says, you know what, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to take you to be with me. Oh, that's exciting. Oh, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Are you listening to me? Because he promises to come back. As a matter of fact, in the same passage, again, because of time, I'm not going to go ahead and read it. He says, you know what? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But you see, if I go, I'm going to send somebody else, called the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you and to now dwell in you. Are you with me? And the Bible teaches us in several places that the Holy Spirit was given as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The same Spirit that raised us from the dead is living inside of you if you're a Christian. And that is that Spirit that guides us in this life and helps us, even as Satan comes and tempts us and gets us to struggle and to fall down. The Spirit is helping us on a daily basis to stay on this straight and narrow path. That it's not as if we're trying to live this Christian life by our own power because we couldn't do it. And so indeed, he's not left us as orphans. He's left us the Holy Spirit. But we got to make sure that as Christians, we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're walking in step with the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you in a direction away from God. It's not possible. If anything, the Bible tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. The Spirit will never direct you and I in some direction that is against the Scriptures. It's not possible. You know, and I see this sometimes, you know, where, you know, somebody may be looking for a job for a while and then they finally get one. And it's a great job. It's paying a lot of money. But it requires them to work on Sunday morning. And, you know, sometimes, you know, disciples go, oh, but you know, Richard, I think this is God. How can that be? Why would God give you something that will cause you not to come worship Him first? That goes contrary to everything the Bible teaches. And the question is, in that situation, for example, are you going to have enough faith to realize, you know what? This is just sitting dangling something in front of me. And if I say steadfast, God is going to give me the job where I'm going to have that I'm going to be able to glorify His name and be able to serve Him 100%. Are you with me? We got to be very, very careful. You know, sometimes it also comes on in relationships where, you know, we start getting attracted to somebody in the world. Oh, but I love them and they love me. So it must be from God. Excuse me? People fall in love every day in this country. God has got nothing to do with it. It's their lustful feelings. So please don't come bring God into it. Are you with me? Because again, the Bible is very clear that as Christians, the way we need to live our lives, and we cannot compromise. Are you with me? Because the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. And so the Holy Spirit will never lead us in a direction contrary to God's will. And then Peter in verse 5 reminds them, watch this. He says, but you deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. It's referring to the flood in Genesis chapter 6. And it says, by the same word, God's word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destroyed and the destruction of ungodly men. You see, where I come from, we pronounce fire, fire. Okay? They don't say fire. They say fire. Fire. All this stuff's going to burn up. That's what it says. Okay? That beautiful house I got right now is going up in smoke someday. That's the truth. Maybe not today, maybe not next year. When all this stuff is all done, it's all going up. I'm sorry, your houses are going to burn too. That nice car, I'm sorry, it's going up in smoke. Everything is going to be destroyed. If it can burn, it will burn. Are you with me? And so, he's basically saying, why are we putting all our priorities into all this earthly stuff? Is it wrong to have a house? No. I never said that. You've never heard me say that. Is it wrong to have a car? No. Is it wrong to have clothes? Is it wrong? No. But those things cannot be our focus. They should never be. Because they're all material possessions. They come and they go. Are you with me? I mean, think about it. Christmas is coming up. Man, I don't know where this year has gone. It's amazing. And prayerfully, you know, you're going to get at least one gift from a loved one. Okay? You know, your husband's going to give you something. Your wife's going to give you something, whatever. And, you know, in our household many years ago, you know, we decided, you know what? I don't know about you. You know, someone will give you a Christmas present. They take their time and they put a lot of thought into it, and they will buy you something, wrap it up, and then you open it up. It's like, oh, thank you. This is nice, you know. But inside you're going, I wanted this or I wanted that. And so what we do in our household, believe it or not, we just ask each other, what do you want? And that's what we get for each other, and we wrap it up. And so even before Christmas morning comes, each person knows what's in the box. Okay? It works for us. All right? Believe me, there are times when I would go out and I see something and I buy it and I wrap it up and I says, yeah, here's my Christmas gift. Just you go wrap it up. Because I know it's something I want. You guys are laughing. It's working for me. The point is this. When you first get that gift, you're very excited about it. Especially if it's something you want. Are you with me? And it's new. But what happens 6 months later? A year later? All of a sudden, it's like, when is Christmas coming? I need a new gift. Because it's not new anymore. Are you with me? But all this stuff will wear out. It will spoil. It will decay. It will age. And so again, over and over again, scriptures tell us and teaches us not to pay so much, not to put too much emphasis on all this stuff. Because it's all going to be destroyed one day. It says the present heaven and the present earth will be destroyed. I don't know if you saw the news in the last several days. There was some kind of asteroid that, you know, passed by the earth. And some people were scared. Ooh, is it going to eat? Are we going to get hit? You know, it's like, calm down. It's like 200,000 miles away from the earth. And, you know, with some huge telescope, you know, you could see a little bit of it. It's like, wow, look at that thing. Look at the size of that thing. You know, when I see stuff like that, it makes me wonder how God is going to bring all this stuff to an end. That's all I think about. I wonder if he's going to use an asteroid and just come in and just boom, wipe the whole thing off. But who knows how he's going to, because we're not just talking about this earth. We're talking about the heavens. We're talking about this universe as we know it. He knows it's going to happen. We just don't know when. Are you with me? And so all this stuff is going to be destroyed. And again, I don't know about you. You know, you can call me selfish all you want. I pray I'm not here when this happens. I'm serious. I don't want to be around when this is going on. It's like, Lord, just take me now. You know, I'm ready to go into paradise. You know, whatever he wants to do back here, that's fine. He said, oh, Richard, how about your children and your grandchildren and all that stuff? Hey, they better stay faithful to God if they want to get to the other side. I'm dead serious. I don't want to be around when this happens. Just like you wouldn't have wanted to be around in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. It was horrible back then. This is not going to be a day of happiness. It's going to be a day of sadness. The Bible teaches
somewhere else that, you know, the entire earth is going to mourn when this happens. I mean, it's going to be terrible. Because all of a sudden, people are going to realize it's over. I don't get a second chance. Wow, these Christians were right the whole time. While I was busy doing A, B, C, D. Wow. Look at all these guys. I gave them a hard time for their faith. I called them names. Now, they're the ones going in. And now I'm in trouble. I have to give an account for my life. It's going to be an intense day. You see, God kept his word in Genesis chapter 6. And Peter is basically saying, guess what? God is going to keep his word again when it comes to destroying this earth. He's going to do it again. We just don't know when. Amen? Again, Satan tries to, in the world today, Satan tries to say, well, there's no heaven. There's no hell. In other words, our actions don't have any consequences. Just live life. Enjoy life. There's nothing after this. Really? I mean, it's amazing sometimes you see these guys on TV and they're dumping out all this garbage. I mean, a non-Christian in me just wants to stretch over and just slap them. I say, be quiet. Obviously, I can't do that. But you see these guys, they just talk. Oh, there's no God. How can there be a God and look at all the suffering in the world? As if God created the suffering. But you see, that's one of the primary ways in which Satan lies and has lied to this generation and generations before us. Just enjoy your life. Just keep going. Nobody's going to notice. Everybody's sinning anyhow, so you better join them. And he's trying to encourage us. He's trying to warn us that, you know, don't go with the crowd. Have the courage to walk the lonely road. Have the courage to stand away from the crowd. Because this world is going to be destroyed. And then in verse 8, I love this. It talks about how, but do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. People say, well, how come Jesus hasn't come back yet? That's the reason right there. God is patient. He's long-suffering. You can write this verse down, Ezekiel 33:11, where God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, rather that they repent. It's not as if God is sitting up there and just, he can't wait for people to mess up and just, you know, fry all of us. He's not that kind of a God. God wants people, God wants every one of us to come to repentance. That's the only reason Jesus has not come back yet. But one day he will. One day time as we know it will end. Are you with me? You know, again, I've even said this in the past where, you know, it says here that a day is like a thousand years. Like, in God's eyes, it's as if Jesus died 2 days ago. But if you think about it, it also talks about how 1,000 years is like a day. Now, I can't figure that out. I think he's simply trying to say, you know what? When it comes to time, it's totally irrelevant with God. He created time. He lives above time. God is not on a clock like you and I are. You and I live our lives based on a clock. 24 hours. We get up at a certain time. We go to work at a certain time. You know, we're looking at a clock. It's time for me to get out. Hey, I need you to stay behind and do this for the next few hours. They don't pay me for that. I'm gone. I'll see you later. We operate by a clock. Oh, you're laughing because you've said it and you've done it. We operate by a clock. Okay, it's time for dinner. Where's my dinner? I'm hungry. We are going to the kitchen and fix yourself something. There's the time to go to sleep. I mean, how do you understand a God that has never slept? And he doesn't need propofol. How do you understand a being that has never gotten tired? That blows my mind. I don't understand it. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't slumber. How do you understand the God that sees everything at the same time? I mean, talk about power. How do you understand a being that 5 million people can be talking at the same time and he hears every single one of them? That's just mind-blowing. But the exciting thing is, that's your father. That's my dad. Are you with me? That over and over again, I'm told in scripture that, you know what? I'm an alien on this earth. I'm a stranger on this earth. That one day I get to go home. Amen? We get to spend eternity with him. And that's why we can't take our lives for granted. But he's not affected by time. But it tells us here that he's going to come like a thief in the night. You can write the reference down. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. In other words, he's coming unexpectedly. We will have no warning. Outside of the ones we have already. Are you with me? You know, in football, there's something called a two-minute warning that they give at the end of each half. Two-minute warning. In other words, you got this game is going to end in 2 minutes. We're not going to get a two-minute warning in this life, so to speak. Are you with me? All the warning we're going to get is, you know what, I'm coming back one day, like a thief in the night, so get ready. So keep watch. So that, you know, his coming doesn't catch us as a surprise. Okay? I don't know if you think about such things. I do. If it happens in our lifetime. First of all, the Bible talks about how there's going to be this trumpet blast. Again, all I can think of when I think of trumpet is what some of these brothers play. But again, for somebody back in the first century, when they hear trumpet, it denotes something else for them. But, I mean, think about it. Alan and Peter, they're great trumpet players. And I tried to play that instrument many years ago. Man, I couldn't do it. There's a way you're supposed to do your lifts and put all the air in your lungs and your cheeks. I couldn't do it. Can you imagine a trumpet that is so loud that everybody on this earth is going to hear it? Not just the living. The dead will hear it. Well, I can't wait. He said, oh, you know, my husband is such a deep sleeper. I promise you, he will wake up. He may not hear that alarm, but I promise you, this trumpet, when it sounds, oh, but he's going to jump out of bed if he's asleep during that time. Oh, you and I will hear it. And then, the Bible talks about how if we're still alive at that point, we're going to go join him in the air. It's going to be incredible. You know, if you're lucky, if you go to the Kennedy Space Center, you know, there's this place where you can experience weightlessness. I mean, you see it on TV sometimes. It's something else. Where you're just floating around. You know? Your legs are not touching the ground. You're not going to just be floating up there. It's like, wow, look at this. Talk about you can really fly. Okay? One day you're going to fly. You're going to elevate. And you're just going to be going up. God will do it. Are you with me? But that's what we get a chance to look forward to. But we got to get ourselves ready. And then in verse 11 it says, since everything is going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And then again, it reminds us that that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. And the elements will melt the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. We just don't know when. You can mark it down. How do I know? Because God always keeps his word. Everything is prophesied in this book has happened. And so you and I can be confident the things that have not happened yet will happen. We've staked our lives on it. We said bye to the world and we decided to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Are you with me? That's what it's all about. But it calls us to live holy and godly lives. Notice, it doesn't say that you live holy and godly lives, somebody else is watching over you. Now, praise God for other people that help us. But the primary responsibility is mine. It's you and I individually to live holy and godly lives. To keep a check on ourselves. Are you with me? Very, very important. In a manner of speaking, that's going to be our ticket. Yes, Jesus died for us and his blood cleansed us from our sins. But he called us to live a holy life. The Bible says, God says, be holy because I am holy. It doesn't mean we'll ever be perfect. It doesn't mean we'll never sin. But if we sin, we confess it, we repent of it, and we keep going. But holiness for Christians is not an option. Because without holiness, the Bible says, you will not see God. Very, very important. But it says, in keeping with his promise. As a matter of fact, let me back up. He says, we should not only look forward to the day of God, but we should speed its coming. When was the last time you prayed, God, come back quickly? That's what the Bible commands us to do. In this passage and in other places. He said, you and I need to speed its coming. Or is it, oh, Lord, please don't come back here. I need to repent of some stuff. Or please don't come back here. Oh, my kids need to get their act together. The Bible says we need to speed its coming. Amen? Remember, God is a just God. He's a righteous God. God is going to deal with each individual according to what they've done. You can't play God. Don't try. But we need to speed the coming. That's why if you go read at the end of the Bible in Revelation, it talks about, that very last chapter, it talks about come. It says it several times, talking about Jesus coming back. Come. 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 How often do you pray that? We should be. We should be looking forward to it. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Look in Isaiah 65. You know, God is amazing. In Isaiah 65, it talks about this. I know we're very familiar with Revelation 21, so I'm not going to bother reading that. But it talks about, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. But the same thing appears in Isaiah 65. In Isaiah 65 in verse 17, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. He's talking about heaven. This is about 750 years before Christ. You know, it's very interesting because Isaiah not only prophesied the first coming of Christ. Okay, you can write your references down.
Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. Isaiah 7, verse 14. And Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. It talks about, for us to us, a child is born, a son is given, and he will be called Emmanuel. Talking about Jesus. Are you with me? Talking about when Jesus came the first time. But Isaiah also talks about the second coming. That's what this is talking about. Are you with me? To me, that's exciting. Trying to give us the full picture. You know, the same guy who said, you know, this, you know, in a few years for them, a child is going to be born and it's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. It happened. And it was called those names. Guess what? This is going to happen also. Amen? Well, like I said last week, when we get to heaven, I'm sorry, if you're a doctor, you're going to be out of a job. Praise God for that. I mean, there's not going to be any sickness. I mean, in the last 4 months, three people that I'm very close to have had prostate cancer surgery. I'm about to get on the plane next week to go see one very quickly. I mean, I can't imagine what that feels like. I'm trying to recover from that. And having to go through radiation treatments. I mean, Phil Proctor is recovering from throat cancer surgery. I took him for some of the visits. It's not pleasant to be sick. Some of us have experienced that. You know what that feels like. I mean, imagine a place where there's no sickness. You're not even going to catch a cold. No pain, no sorrow. He says we're going to build homes and we're going to be able to dwell in them. It's going to be a perfect place. The perfect environment. I mean, a lot of us will have cold sons in our why? Because you're cold. Some brothers will give me a hard time. Aren't you cold? I said, not really. You know, some of us are cold, some of us are hot. The weather is going to be perfect. He said, what does that feel like? I have no idea. I mean, it's going to be perfect. You know how it is when you, quote unquote, you take a vacation and, you know, you've been walking and toiling all year. It's like, you know what, I deserve me a vacation. And so, you know, you save up your money and you go somewhere. 5-star hotel. They don't call it 5-star for nothing. And you sleep and you wake up and you go, man, I slept so good. Because, first of all, you're not waking up to go to some job next morning. So you take your time, you sleep in. And then you go down, you go, you know, survey the breakfast. You know, they have this breakfast buffet and all you can eat. You know, you pay one price. And you go on the vacation and you feel rejuvenated. Now, what happens when that, you know, those few days are about to come to an end? If you want to be honest, you're like, you know what? I am going back to my life of getting up every day and going to this job. Now, thank God I have a job and dealing with this person or that person or whatever. But you really look forward to that vacation, right? And in a lot of ways, think about heaven as a permanent vacation. I don't know about you. I could spend a month in the world of Astoria if I had the money. When somebody else is making my bed, that's a vacation. Okay? To me, a vacation is not, you go somewhere, if I have to make my own bed and cook my own food, that's not vacation. But anyway, that's just me. Think about heaven as a permanent vacation. And it's free. Oh, man. How sweet is that? That's what you and I are looking forward to. That's what God has prepared for us. And that's why these are the kind of things we need to be thinking about and meditating on and should keep us going. Because Satan does not want us to experience this. He doesn't. And that's why every day his mindset is, and he and his demons, they're looking for people to trip up and to take down.
And you have to decide that, you know what? Satan's not going to take me down. I'm going to fight. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you put up a fight, when Satan goes like this, you put your hands up. And he comes at you, step back. You got to stand there and fight. He will take off. Now you got to fight using the word. Okay? It's a spiritual battle. Are you with me? So again, this is, you know, put on the full armor of God. This is Ephesians 6. Cover up your head. I'm not a boxer. I always wondered growing up, why they put their hands up? Oh, he doesn't want to get hit in the head. Okay, that makes sense. Because I always thought, you know, you can just put it down here. But, you know, from down here, before you do that, it's a longer way off. But when he's up here, poof, this is a lot shorter. It's like, oh, now I get it. But we got to put up a fight. We got to resist the devil. Or you will not experience your permanent vacation. The end, brothers and sisters, is near. We got to keep watch. And then finally he says, we need to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Again, there's that individual responsibility. I need to be found spotless before God. I got to walk out my own salvation with fear and trembling every day. I need to be blameless before God. This is what we need to be striving for on a daily basis. These things were written down to inspire us to holy living. That year we may think, oh, it's a long time. You know, I'm young. I have time to change. I have time to enjoy life and then, you know, I'll make the adjustments later. Don't listen to that lie. You could be dead tomorrow. I mean, every now and then on the news, you hear about, you know, even teenagers dying in car accidents. You're still here for a reason. We can't take our lives for granted because we don't get a second chance to come and do this all over again. We got to get it right the very first time. Amen? And so, think about heaven. Think about your eternal standing with God. Let that motivate you. Let that inspire you to keep putting one leg in front of the next, even when things are tough. Because one day, it's going to be worth it. You can take that one to the bank. It's going to be worth it. And like I said a few weeks ago, all the stuff you and I would have experienced on this earth, you would not even remember. It will be a distant memory. You will not even remember. It's not going to matter. Because we will have fellowship with each other, with brothers and sisters all over the world who have also made Jesus Lord of their lives. We'll all be together with God forever. Every tribe, every nation, every color, every race. It's going to be exciting. That's what we're talking about. But we've got to make sure that we guard ourselves so that we don't get disqualified. Amen? That's what I want to talk to us about tonight. I hope this has been helpful. Bishop, please, if you come forward and lead us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great promises. Thank you for all the ways that you have promised to bless us in this life and in the next, Father. Father, we thank you for your word and for the encouragement to keep putting one foot in front of the other, to make every effort to be found blameless and spotless. Father, I pray that you would help us to do that, help us to see the areas where Satan is attacking us, help us to resist the devil. Father, help us to be willing to do the difficult things so that we will never drift away from you, Father, because nothing in this world is worth losing the next one for. Father, thank you so much again for this lesson. Thank you for one another. Help us to encourage one another to make it to the end. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.